Please support this unique United Fans podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Hello everyone, it's Red News Podcast 267. Let's hope this isn't after the Lord Mayor's show, and it isn't a nil-nil, but I am still on cloud 99. It had that 99 vibes. I just smile. In the dredge that we've had this season, there are the nights when you get back on a Sunday and you delete Match of the Day 2, and you wake up on a Monday morning sulking, and I hate Mondays, as you know. And then in the sludge, there are the diamonds, where you watch that goal over and over and over again. And there was a moment, I got back home, it feels like days ago, but it was only a couple of days ago, that I've watched it so many times, the sound, the brutality and beautifulness of that sound when that went goes in, that Albert was jumping up on the sofa, singing Harry Maguire, and I just thought, like, only this club, with all the moans, with all we've seen this season, can suddenly, I don't know how they did it. Manu's goal, fantastic. I've got to be honest, I've looked at that Casemiro challenge a few times and I don't know how he found a penalty from it, but thanks for once, thanks for VAR. It's like, just, we needed it. Hello, Ben. And your summing up was brilliant.
Oh, thank you very much and happy Easter, everybody. Well, I'm still on cloud 99 with yourself, Barney. I've just said to you there, just before we went live, me and little man have watched it back so many times now, that game. It feels like it was a European final, you know, the amount of times you just watched it back, because it was that magical. The atmosphere, though, you know, like I said on the pod at the end of the Lyon match there, and I said people must be sick of Paris and leaving early, but there was a couple of hundred that left it in around us at the top of the Stretford End, and then all of a sudden we got a penalty, and all of a sudden I've never seen so many people run up the stairs so quickly in all my life, the top tier of the Stretford End there, you know, coming back home, we got a penalty, you know.
I've put out the thing, if you've got an unusual take, wherever you were, near or far from Thursday, we're going to do like a few pages on it, obviously,
yeah,
to send it in. But, you know, I felt for Nathan. The one thing with this club is we know that there's other moments ahead.
Yeah.
You know, like, you couldn't see it coming. I feel like there were a few people who tweeted back and said they're absolutely gutted. So I do feel, because, you know, like, course, there's no judgment on when you leave. I've missed so many goals, selling the mag or having to dash off. You know, there's just... But I tell you, like, the tension, you know, the atmosphere. And, like, I know that there was a few people saying, oh, at the minute, such and such, but... Let's just concentrate on the good part, the end.
Yeah, well,
but also, when I recorded it, sorry, Ben, it's like there's the tense silence atmosphere.
Yeah, that's what I was
which is another part of it. Like, if you listen to the last pod, please do, where I record, there's a tension of utter, like, blow the bloody whistle, which is an atmosphere in itself. So, this ground, though, fucking, you know, like, two in the last year we've had that have matched any over decades.
Yeah, but as I was saying there, Barney, though, it's that the ebbs and flows. Sometimes you get the lull of the atmosphere, you know, when Lacazette's penalty went in, it was, oh my God, what are we doing? You know, they've got 10 men, how are we now 4-2 down in this game after being 2-0 up and comfortable at half time? And into the absolute euphoria of. Even when Bruno got the penalty, you know, that he slotted it home, it just went up a notch. And then, obviously, when Casemiro fed in Mainu there. And I tell you what, and I've said it on social media, that is a world-class finish that any top world-class striker would be proud of that. But as soon as that goes in, the decibel levels are absolutely deafening.
That Bruno, like the Bruno chance, but you know, like, would have been goal of the season. And like, I've watched
that one,
Dalot has come in for so much stick, you know, the high five.
Yeah, of course,
His goal was majestic. Ugarte was brilliant. Casemiro in this new role where he's been doing less has been really good.
I think that's also credit to Ugarte as well.
Yeah.
I think they work well as a pair.
And I tell you what, we know that Casemiro's getting old, you know, and he's been questioned. But I do think, and I've always maintained this, and I've always liked him, you know, like, there was a patch, and I'd still, you know, if we can get the money from him. But he's not here for just the money. It's a celebration at the end. I don't think he signed, you know, this, oh, Real Madrid is just coming for the... He's one of the ones that hasn't come, you know, like, his legs have gone. But if you can utilise him, his expertise is like... And two times, just, I can't, you know, like, this ground, and it's to Jim in his thing, is why, you know, you wanted to move, and he's put, well, Old Trafford looks tired. Well, yes, But wake it up then.
Wake
because
it up then,
when
yeah.
it does on those nights, you look around and you think, how could you just...
Well, as I put a tweet out on social media, and I've never had so many likes and engagements about just about the chatting after the Maguire goal. I did a 30-40 second clip. Every reply is, why would you knock this down? We can't knock this down. Why would you want to move a ground? It's like you say, freshen it up.
Yeah,
put a new roof on it,
care.
You know.
That's what I've always... I've got a hate of the week. Holiday Inn Express. I mean, so just a, you know, £702 for a room the night of the final. How we know they do it. I like a lad who's already suggested he started looking at Udinese for the Super Cup final. I hadn't even gone that. That's how giddiness can do you.
I think I might have to take
it's
a tempting picture.
August the 13th. It looks a lovely place, Udinese, though. I will. Right. Look, so today is the 38th anniversary of the Mag. I'll keep saying it, but it's down to you. I know it, you know, like my part, the stubbornness. Thousands of times I could have packed it in. It is loveless, but it's a labour of love, and it's down to people like you, Ben, Zayden. But it's the community. It's the readers, the sellers, the contributors over. But I am, you know, 38 years, one of the longest selling fanzines in the world on anything, if not now approaching probably one of the longest. You know, like, I'm humbled. And I'm proud about it. So thank you to everyone. It doesn't end here, though. I don't want it to. So please, if you can, the campaign has started. We've launched it. Give it a go. It's £28 PDF, £45.50 print, and you get the mag for the year. And that's it. You know, I know times are tough. So we will offer subs for people. Like, get in touch. You can donate a second sub. If you're affected by the IAP price increases and you can't... find money for the mag, then please, someone can donate, and then we'll just get in touch. Won't ask any questions about your situation. But this mag, I think fanzines are important because fans issues are so still important, and we're nothing big. I know that. That's why 425 is massive, but we're a little spot on this Old Trafford landscape. 1,201 games, and I want to carry it on. So please, but mainly, just a huge thanks to every single one of you who's got what a fanzine is about. Ben, what's it?
Well, I was going to just ask if I could add something onto that, though, as well. Like I said to you on social media as well,
Red News, you know,
it just goes to show you that in the day and age of technology where everybody wants things instantly, you know, your Twitters, and all that lot, where news is instant, that it's amazing that fanzines can still have a place in footballing culture, in the modern-day footballing culture. And it's an important part of football culture. We can't let fanzines die. We cannot let fanzines die. It's like all your scarf sellers, all the people that sell their merchandise as you approach the stadium and everything. That's your footballing culture. That's the British footballing culture. We cannot lose this. We can never, ever let this die.
Ben, it's like the, you know, there's the incessant... you know, desire for 24/7, which I think is too much.
Yeah.
You know, the Sky Sports always creating, like, talk shite.
Yeah.
So the place for the mag has actually improved in a way, because we're away from that manicness, and you know who I'm talking to about knobheads. And it's like, so there's a place
but
for
then it's also,
what we're about.
It's also written for the fans, by the fans, for the fans. It's your own view. And like you said, we're not always going to agree with everything, or with every point, with every thing that's written or said on podcasts or anything. But that's a good thing. It's healthy debate. And it's written by the people that turn up to matches. It's written to the people that will get up at stupid o'clock in the morning, wherever they live, and sub to your magazine. And, you know, that they get sent out worldwide. And it's those people that may come one a season that pick up, you know, just on the off chance, I fancy picking that up, you know, and reading it, and then getting into it, and then subbing
and
on.
Writing, you know, like...
And writing
right,
in
just,
as well.
I say, I don't agree with stuff, but there's some beautiful stuff, and it allows me to vent, but also... hold them to account. They see us. I know the club give us nothing, you know, and sometimes that really upsets me, and obviously that's what a fanzine, you know, like, is. So sometimes I think, well, that's just the way it should, you know, should be.
Yeah.
But the club give us nothing. But I know from the decent people is the suits look at us and go, I hope that wanker goes away, and I haven't gone away, and we're still here where they can see us through their ivory towers. And I think it's important that you hold those suits who come and go, as I wrote in the new mag, to account.
How
do you sum up Thursday?
Unreal, unbelievable. Fantastic. A bit of heart shown again at last.
Right, what do you reckon today?
Draw. Maybe.
don't burst that balloon, Frank. Enjoy the day.
Take care.
So, you know, like, we do fanzine things. That's all I can say.
It's
I think.
As I said though, many things are starting to die off. You know, they don't want, you know, the suits, like you said, they don't want season ticket holders eventually. They want to get rid of us for, you know, those people that pay hundreds and hundreds of pounds for tickets, everything. They don't want this community to survive. They just see things as one dimensional. We can't let this culture die. This is your footballing
66.
Culture.
The hospitality lanyards will still adopt for you and you and you, yeah, and you listening. And where else are you going to hear Shane salivate about Nathan's porn genre, the Euroway lads talking waffle about cheese, and us just talking shit?
If the mag carries on,
the pods carry on. We can't do it without the mag.
And
so
also, you find out about Barney's fondness of fruit pastels as well, which is absolutely
amazing.
Well,
cheers to me, because I've been munching those. And my wife is still looking at me like, what the fuck are you doing? Right, so, and they take the piss in my pronunciations. I can't help it.
It's just who I am.
Sadly, this is the flawed human being at 54, started this mag when I was 16, who's pronounced them wrong. So I'm going to get this one right. Wrong, sorry. Frederiksen.
Yeah, Tyler Frederiksen,
today.
Yeah.
Give us an overview.
He's a very accomplished defender, very, very comfortable on the ball. Great in the air, really good in the air. For someone, he doesn't look as tall as you, as like a Conque, or I'll say God will, because at least I can pronounce his first name, but he's not as tall as him, and he's not as big and as brute, but he's quality in the air. He seems to hang in the air for an age, but he wins a lot in the air, and he's comfortable on the ball. He's a good ball carrier out of the back as well. Doesn't panic. I've never ever seen that kid panic, you know, from what I've seen of him.
Obviously, are you surprised he's getting the call?
No, if he does, no, no, he deserves it.
Who else do you think was that close?
I don't know who's going to be in the squad today. And apparently, it might not be as many youth team players as you think it would be. But I think over the next coming weeks, you will see a few
Bournemouth
more of them.
Bournemouth has got to be.
But you're going to say the likes of James Scanlon, who's what I could describe him as maybe more of a Garnacho type forward, where he's more out wide, but then he can find the back of the net. Him. Between the three of Chinnawobi, Gabriel Biancari and James Scanlon for the 18s and 21s combined, those three have been on goal scoring. Their big goal scoring has been fantastic all season. They just keep finding the back of the net with regularity.
Well, we had another comeback. Was it yesterday? Or the
it was before? Saturday. Saturday. What day are we on today? Yeah, yesterday. Yeah. So, yeah. Against Wolves, we're 2-0 down.
So that sort of sets the tone. The whole club bounces off each other. That's what a win can do.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That.
And then... Again, you've got a young kid called Shay Lacey that's just come back from injury, but I don't think he might do towards the end of the season. I cannot see it this season because of the injuries that he's had. They may give him a little bit longer, but obviously people that do know youth football, Shay Lacey's been the kid on everybody's lips, well before your Chido Obis and stuff like that.
For you to go, it must be a right buzz seeing someone you've followed through coming.
Yeah.
That must be an extra special
buzz. Yeah, it's like we're quite close with Gabriel Biancari, which is the Welsh striker that United, the 18s and 21s. He's been on a phenomenal goal scoring run. It slowed down a little bit since he's come back from his shoulder up, but he scored a couple last week for the 21s. So he's still scoring, but not with the regularity he was scoring before the op, unfortunately. But he's still feeling his way back. We're close with his family, and it'd be amazing if you see him over the coming weeks getting his debut coming off the bench.
That's
he's the one that he would say would maybe back up if you want to wrap Hoyland in cotton wool, especially for Bournemouth. He'd be like your substitute for Chinnawobi, for example. You know, two different type of strikers, by the way. Chinnawobi is a better all-round striker. He's got more to his game, back to the goal, can, you know, hold people off. Whereas Biancari is more like, if I can describe him as a player, like, I don't like, it's not me comparing him to that player, but if I can describe him as a player, it's more of your Solskjaer, he's more of your Chicharito type player, he's your goal poacher. His movement in and around the box is unbelievable.
We definitely need that. And like the only negative, and I feel like, and he obviously, the joy he had where you went giddy as hell, you know, celebrating with Maguire, and like, I loved your praise about Maguire, was Hoyland. And I did think watching him again, he was the only one, when we had that great spell for 50 minutes, you know, to start the game. It feels like sometimes he's marking his man, marking him. Like, he makes it so easy for the defender. And also, like, when he knew he was coming off, I just said, I know, like, I keep using the example of Hughes, Mark Hughes, he was great.
Yeah.
Sparky was just another 10 levels up. So it's wrong to compare someone like Young and who's not hitting it off. But like Hughes and Rooney would just make the defender's job so difficult.
Yeah.
And even in this era where, you know, like you press and you move off, you could still just bite, let the defender know you're there. And he doesn't do it enough. And it is like twice now, Maguire has come on Forrest and looked like he knows where he's going to be, you know. And I'm not, of course, saying Maguire, like, because it would be unfair, and like we're going to need him maybe for another moment later on in the season. But it's like Hoyland would be pretty embarrassing in Maguire's. And I know the intensity of the game had changed, so we're chasing it, and then we get more chances, so which wasn't happening.
But
it's like, how can a centre back twice now look like our best chance of a goal? I think a way to that is
the way that I've always. Because when I used to play Saturday Sunday League, I'm not trying to blow Trump up my own ass. I was shite anyway, but I wasn't having any good. But it was always, I used to play centre half, and we always used to say that a centre half makes a great centre forward because you know what type of movement you're looking for, what type of moves to make. And I think Maguire does that, and Maguire, Hoyland is a decently built lad, you know. But Maguire is a tank, isn't he? He knows how to shove people, move people forward, drag people out of place. Gets physical with
Hoyland,
defenders.
The annoyance at us getting on, you know, not on his back, but getting on his case. That, and also the form and the criticism he's had, that to show that, like, come out and just start fighting and growling. He did it a couple of games where he actually, you know, like, kicked off a little bit, and you think, come on, man, don't be soft as shite, like, do more. Anyway, right, so predictions. Wolves, MUFC Wolves is always hell on earth.
it's
why Jesus a few thousand years ago said, fuck this for a game of soldiers, I'm off ski.
Yeah.
It was because his dad was going to invent MUFC Wolves. Yeah. So I've got no hopes for entertainment today, but let's just hope like a win or something happens that we think, you know, just anything.
I'm going anything.
I've got feeling is 0-0 hell. But what do you reckon? No, let's go 2-1.
I was about to say I'm gonna go 2-1 just to remain on the positive side. But I want to say hopefully Chinwobi gets his breaks his duck in the Premier League, gets a goal today. And also I've seen that Johnny Evans has come in with the team today. I expect him to start today alongside Lindelof. I reckon he will rest that back line.
You know, like,
I know we just said about Fredrickson, but I think he might be the bench player. But if Evans does start, I fancy Evans to get a goal. Evans gets
a coaching role. And obviously, you know,
do you know what
good,
I said
a role here.
I don't know, to go off on a tangent, I don't want to overrun this podcast like I normally do.
No.
But I did say to Zayden, at the minute we've got Tommy Rowe from Doncaster. And we've had Tommy Huddleston before that, and Mick Shane before that. They're coming towards the end of their playing career, but they drop down to the 21s and they play with the 21s and also coach the 21s at the same time. So they're the player coach on the field.
Yeah.
I wonder if he maybe dropped down and do that, because I know that his family are pretty settled in Manchester.
Or does
so
he think he can have another year somewhere?
Or
you
might
like,
say
if
that.
Leicester
yeah.
go down, I don't know. Right, but Zayden prediction?
2-0.
2-0, I like that. Right. Cheers, everyone. Ben's going to speak after. I might not, because everything's a bit manic in the next few days, but just probably will, because I like talking, going on and on to you. But just like, I do think it's a magnificent 38 years. It's just bonkers. But thanks to you all. Really, that's it. Just thanks.
Welcome back to the pod. We're back at the Pev. Doing this under duress because none of us, I've given what we've just witnessed, none of us had any inclination whatsoever to carry on, to make any reference to it. I don't even think we are going to make any reference to it. Just looked on the phone. Match is still ongoing, by the way, but we just spewed it after 70 minutes because it was so boring. But the sun's out. We're sat outside the Pev. Danny's got a Guinness Zero, which he's delighted about because O'Shea's didn't have any. Steve's on the Guinness. I've got a pint of Moretti. We've got some crisps. So let's, and the sun's out, yeah. So let's crack on. Happy Easter, everyone.
Happy Easter. Did you get any eggs?
No.
I didn't either.
No. Steve, did you get any eggs?
No, but the kids have, so I'll just have theirs.
Joking apart, though, it's only because my mum passed away a couple of years ago. I was still like in my 40s and my mum would buy me an Easter egg. Does your mum, even though you're a grown man, does she still buy you Easter eggs?
I told her I didn't want an egg. She could just transfer me the money. In fact, she's not done it.
I don't blame her.
Barney said specifically, I had to reference, it's like observations of today, horses have massive hooves.
They have. Yeah, I've been watching clips of this on Twitter.
Yeah, but Barney doesn't. What, of horse hooves?
Yeah, horse hooves. I'm obsessed with like the farriers. So if a horse hoof grows naturally, it turns into like a big, it looks like a clog. It's huge, so I watch them like chop it all back, clean them all, and
so this is a thing. This is like ongoing discourse because I wasn't.
I don't know if Barney's seen it from that. I think he's just seen a police horse today. But
yeah, I was going to say where Barney lives. He doesn't live like, say, where me and Steve live, where, you know, in the countryside where everyone owns a horse. Like you see a horse every 2 minutes.
Everyone owns a horse.
Oh Jesus Christ! When I used to pick my daughter from primary school, look at that. I'd say 75% of the mums just spent the day at the stables. That's what it's like. Not because they were rich, just because they've just grown up like that. It's just the way it is.
Touching horses.
Yeah, so Barney sees a horse. The only horse Barney sees is a police horse, and it's a big deal to him.
I climbed under a police horse once, trying to get into Chelsea away when we won the league.
Jesus, what?
Nearly got his dick in my face.
That's a conversation. But do you remember the back of the Stretford End, especially at night games and cup games? And when you used to have to queue up and then the horses would be pushing him to the wall and stuff like that. I mean, that's just madness, wasn't it? And then the turnstile would close and you'd all leg it to the next one. Yeah. Anyway, so that was an interesting topic.
Interesting diversion.
Yeah. What else? Anything but to talk about the match.
What else did he ask us to talk about?
No.
I don't know. Don't really listen to him, to be honest. I have got the new mag, though, which I believe came out on Thursday. Looks a good one.
Looks good.
Loads of colour.
It came out.
And I know that he
it came out last week, did it?
Yeah, might have done. I know we'd appreciate a plug for the summer subscription race thing. I think it's about £45 a year for all the mags. You don't have to talk to Barney. You do get it delivered to the door, which is a massive plus.
Digital subscriptions available.
And it's a bargain.
Get it.
Really? I'll tell you what, though, you've said Happy Easter, but we need to say Happy Birthday to Red News, really, because 38 years, is it?
38 today.
Wow, that's some going. That is some going.
I'll tell you what, we'll have a party on the 40th anniversary. So on the 25th anniversary, if I remember rightly, I think it was the 25th or the 20th, I can't remember now, there was a do in some pub in the arse end of Old Trafford somewhere, and Barney asked me to take money off people in the door, so I had to take money off people bigger and harder than I have, but he also told me that the female Scandinavian supporters club were going to this thing. Yeah, of course you are, Barney.
And how old are you at this point? That's obviously a mega plus.
20-something. Yeah,
so you're going to go, aren't you?
And lo and behold, a limousine pulled up and the Scandinavian Women's Supporters Club turned up. And they did not disappoint.
What was the do at Hotel Football? Was that the 30th?
I can't remember. Did I go?
I don't think so. I think Nathan was there. I can't remember. It was a few years ago. That's the only time I've ever been in Hotel Football.
We did a quiz, didn't we?
Did we do a quiz? Second. Yeah. You, we did come second.
Yeah, we did.
We were robbed of it.
Yeah.
We were late entrants as well, weren't we? We had no expertise, just like completely off the dome.
Was it a United quiz?
Yeah, it was a United quiz, and we came second. Robbed of a... Well, I didn't really want the... I think the prize was some Dennis Law shirt or something, wasn't it? Or a big print or something.
Yeah, something. Yeah, photos. We just want cash. Everyone's listening, cash.
Cash, please. That's what we want. That's what we're all about. Happy birthday, Red News. Thanks to everyone who's already subbed for next season. And, get on it if you want the mag to keep going and to listen to these illuminating football podcasts that we provide.
It was a bit of an anticlimax today, wasn't it?
But we knew it was going to be.
And we said before, didn't we? It doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter in the slightest. I am literally unmoved by what I've witnessed today. The sun was shining. I had my sunglasses on. A little bit colder than expected.
You've gone shorts, haven't you?
I underdressed by putting shorts on, even though I suspected it wouldn't be as warm.
Just going back there.
As hoped.
Do you not think it's worrying that we didn't even have a shot on target? We might have done by now, but I don't, not a shot on target.
I don't care. Honestly, don't care.
I do. I think it, I mean, it's not just dull to watch, but not having a shot on target against frigging Wolves, it's just a joke.
Well,
you know, we were all getting clouded by the other night, but the only reason why we scored three in the last, you know, 6 minutes, or, you know, say the last, say, 10 minutes, is because the tactics went out the window and it was throw your kitchen sink at them, and that's the only reason. We all know that. This sideways, sideways, backwards, sideways, sideways, backwards football is shite.
It's an end of season dead rubber against.
On a positive, the young lads, the young lads played well. Tyler's been about this goal, and we don't really know what Obi played like because we left.
Yeah.
But no, the young lads played well. I was
disappointed that you didn't take me bet, because you said to me, I bet you he scores next few minutes now when Hoyland was replaced, and I went, I'll take that bet. And you said, how many minutes have I got? I said you've got until the end of the game.
Yeah,
and you bottled it.
I did bottle it, yeah, because I started to think it was a bit of a bold
statement. Only a fiver as well. That's what cheap skate. Could have been a bit of fun. That could have been more excitement than the fucking previous 70 minutes.
Nothing was as exciting as Steve's admission, not conversation, to Barney. What he'd do if we'd won lots of.
No, we're not talking about that. We're not allowed to talk about that.
Barney,
we
have a list of censored.
No. We've reined it in as instructed. So anyway, thanks for listening. Support the sub campaign. Happy birthday, Red News.
Before we go, if you could have three summer signings, who would you have? God. Realistic ones.
It's too hard, Dan.
It's not too hard.
Well, I haven't got a clue.
I don't.
Oh, you said you don't watch any other football.
You are going on about someone who played for Wolves today. I've got no idea who you're talking about.
Other than United, people mention players that even play in a Premiership. I don't know. Yeah, but I could name who played for what teams in end of the 80s when I was interested in football, so that level of degree where I could tell you every squad and every team. But
we haven't got any money though, have we? I mean, how much do you want to go realistic?
I think that Ollie Watkins for Rashford swap that's been muted today, I think that's...
I don't rate him. That's a like-for-like replacement. I don't see him as an upgrade.
Here's a different question.
Probably a little bit more motivated than Rashford.
Here's a different question. You don't have to name who, but you've got, over the summer, you're going to sign two players, because that's all we can afford, two decent players. Where they're going to play? What's the priority?
Two strikers. Got to be.
Goalkeeper?
I don't think they'll replace him.
I think a centre-back, maybe.
I know, I would sign a left-back. I lose track because they both play both sides. I would replace. Well, would have replaced Dallow. I admired Dallow's spirit and the fact he's never injured and he's a wholehearted player. But Christ, he is not good enough for what we need to do. I don't know. I would leave it. To be honest, mate, I would leave it up to the manager because that's his job. We need a centre forward. Clearly we need more in midfield. Clearly we need another goalkeeper. Clearly we need a left back.
I said two players, not two squads.
I think we obviously look at things very critically because of where we are at the minute.
That's what we're here to do.
We are. But I don't know. I think once the goals are if and when, big if, the goals start coming in, and will Dalot's shortcomings be as highlighted?
I think they would, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
We're about 7 years into his reign, aren't we?
Like I said, I like him. There's a bloke who said this before.
I do. I like his attitude. In a team where fucking half of them don't look interested, I think he's fantastic because he can't doubt his enthusiasm and his commitment. But no, not for me.
But we need to keep Cobby, don't we?
We do, yeah. If we were to lose one of the two bright young stars, then I mean I'd be sad to lose Garnacho because I don't, you know, ideally we shouldn't even be talking about replacing him, but if you were going to have to sacrifice one of them for the greater good, you know, step forward to go two step, you know, one step back to go two steps forward, then I would advocate sacrificing him.
I don't think this system fully suits his game anyway. I don't think Ganacho's played as well.
I think the players we've got, I don't think it particularly suits any of their games.
No, well, yeah.
There's it almost that. Seems that... And this is the thing, isn't it? Are they going to give him the time and the money to replace a number of players? We know that some are out the door. We know that Johnny Evans is going. We know
Evans, Eriksen.
Casemiro go?
No.
Casemiro last.
I don't think he'll go.
No,
he's
the last
got a
couple
year
of games. I mean, certainly Thursday night, and I thought he's played really well.
But they didn't. They're not an English team, are they? They didn't. Let him play football.
Amarim said as much. If you got two, if you got 2 extra seconds on the ball, then he's going to look miles better. When you've got people like nipping at your shins, like the fucking millisecond you receive the ball. So we got Lindelof out the door, Eriksen out the door.
Yeah.
Evans out the door.
Is Inanna going?
Tom Eaton out the door. Well, who's going to fucking buy in? No chance. No.
I knew we were going to waste the money on. Well, not waste, but
you don't need to waste the money. There's got.
Barney mentioned at half time. He'd go for Pickford.
No, I don't like him.
No, I would. I'd go for an experienced keeper who's possibly like a number two somewhere else at the minute. You can sign these players for cheap.
What's Sergio Romero doing? Is he?
Yeah. Well, you know, you'd kill for that now, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've been so up and down with goalkeepers. I think that we always remember we watched the Schmeichel documentary, not together, but I watched it and you watched it separately.
Mention anyone who's not seen it, the Schmeichel documentary on Sky. It's actually very, very good. He's a lot deeper.
It's complex, isn't it?
He's a lot deeper a character than I thought he was.
I've not seen it. Is it on Sky?
Yeah, it's well worth watching.
Did he ever tell you the time I was like within 2 feet of him? So I'm coming up the escalator. This is a long time ago. In Selfridges, in the basement. And he's coming down. It went dark. When you get close to him, he's huge. He's a massive bloke. You don't realise how big he is.
Well, we had him, and then we had like...
Bosnich, Barthez.
Few
missteps wasn't there before we got Van der Sar. But we got Van der Sar on the cheap, didn't we?
Well, that's what we need. We need a Van der Sar.
Yeah.
We need to get lucky.
Lucky enough to interview him for the mag, and he was a lovely man, and it's going to sound ridiculous to say, he was a big man, and he's not as skinny in real life. He's like...
As you think.
He's just a big man.
Footballers do in my experience, when you bump into a footballer though, they're all small.
Eric was huge.
Was it?
Eric
Sam
Allardyce.
I remember going to
fucking massive.
That's a different connection.
One of the biggest men I've ever seen in my life. I remember going to a gig
at the Apollo, and Solskjaer, I walked past Solskjaer and he was fucking tiny, dead skinny. Robbie Savage as well. I've seen him in the supermarket right by where I work. He used to get a few two guy, Brad Friedel, Robbie Savage. A few of the City players was always in there in the Tesco. And Robbie Savage was in there. He's the skinniest little scrote you've ever seen in your life. Like
was it?
He very, very thin shoulders.
Which leads us nicely onto Maney.
What are you on about? Hang on.
He's really been working out.
Wait a
second. Go on, carry on. Sorry, I interrupted you. Carry on.
No, we'll pivot onto that, Danny. You just interrupt me. We'll just fucking forget what I'm saying. Let's just plow on. Yes.
Sorry, listeners, these two share a room on your hallway.
No, we don't. Fucking hell, we'll be murdered.
Jesus Christ, I won't share with him.
Well, I have shared a room with him on Euroways. It's always very amusing because the first, Daniel stomps into the room, looks at how far away the beds are, and immediately starts trying to, if they're within like 15 inches of each other, he immediately starts trying to like pull them apart, like
pull them off the wall,
like
in case you make love,
in case I accidentally roll over and start trying to make sweet love to him.
Anyway, Maynard, he looks a big laugh, doesn't he? Since he's come back.
Funny you spotted that. I clocked it. I said it the other night, during the game. I said, it's like, he's come back. He's like a foot wider and a foot taller. He looks like a different player, like physical fucking specimen. You having that, Steve? Have you noticed that? His development?
I'll be honest with you, I've hardly watched the game today. But yeah, he does look bigger. He's had a haircut, which is always good. Yeah.
Anyway, we've done 17 minutes there, which is incredible given that we had nothing to say. And we haven't really said anything.
Talked
of
about
note.
The game, really.
So, happy birthday, Red News. Support the sub campaign. Barney, we didn't kept stay under wraps as promised. See you next time. Cheerio.
Manchester United 0, Wolverhampton Wanderers 1 at full time. Not quite the boring 0-0 Barney predicted, eh? We had so many chances, so many decent chances in that game. Hoyland and Mount had two really good chances there to put the game to bed. You know, we could have been 3-0, 3-1 up. We could have won this 3-1. He had two glorious chances, as well as Hoyland, to put the game to bed. Really, those three should have been 3-1 outside, but it is what it is. But I'm not going to concentrate on the negatives. I'm going to concentrate on the positives. There's two young kids today, Harry Amas and Tyler Fredrickson. Fredrickson's made his full Manchester United first team and full Premier League debut. Played the whole 90 minutes. Was absolutely superb. He's been unlucky with injuries over the last couple of years. For me, he's probably, in fact, I think he's the best centre-half in the academy, the best defender the academy has at this moment in time. If anyone's going to step up from the academy into that centre-half position, it will be him, alongside Heaven. They're your two young prospects there for me. But brilliant, he played the whole 90 minutes, absolutely superb. And Ten Hag was a big fan of the guy. Ten Hag was a big fan of the kid. But unfortunately, injuries put pay to any debut before now. But honestly, you, for the people that have seen it today, he's so good with the ball at his feet. He's so good at defending, pressing high and defending quite high up the field. He's what this team really needs in the centre half, that in the Amorim role, in the Amorim mould, is what I'm trying to say. He's perfect for it. And Harry Amas today, best game I've seen him play in the first team. Again, full 90 minutes for Harry Amas. We know all about Harry Amas. We've seen him in through pre-season. We've seen how good he is. And again, he suits us perfectly. And he worked well with Garnacho. And the understanding that he has with Fredrickson, because obviously they play for the 23s together in the academy. They have a very good understanding together. So they're so comfortable and natural for them both to play alongside each other. And they both complemented each other well. I think Victor Lindelof did very well to sort of guide Fredrickson and talk to Fredrickson through the first half. And then obviously when Yoro came on, did exactly the same in that second half. But they're the two big positives. Chino Obi obviously coming on as well. You know, there's reasons to be positive out of today. And there's three young kids on the field today. You know, three academy players starting. If you count a lot, Alejandro Garnacho as well. And that's what it's all about, really, Reds. That's what it's all about. But we need to be patient with these kids. We need to make sure we don't moan and groan at them if they're making mistakes. They are going to make mistakes. There's 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, you know, learning the game of football, developing at the very highest level of the game, the Premier League being arguably the best league in the world, the toughest league in the world to play in. I believe we might, I've got a sneaking suspicion, the Bournemouth and Brentford games between both the Europa League games is where you can see even more academy players play. You like to see your Biancheris, like I said before, the likes of maybe Tyler and Jack Fletcher's maybe coming in. Morehouse, which I'm surprised hasn't seen any game time, because he's probably the best ball carrier in the United Academy. If not, probably the whole best ball carrier in the whole of the United setup, to be fair. And I'm including first team. He's a proper good ball carrier. So maybe we'll see Morehouse as well in the coming matches and the coming days. So, really, Zayna, what do you think of it? Good or not good? Not good, but you enjoyed the young players, though. You, yeah. you like me, have watched the likes of Tyler Fredrickson and Harry Amass and Chido Obi so many times over the past year or two. You're excited about youth team footballers coming through, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think of Tyler Fredrickson and Harry Amass? Are they good?
Yeah.
Really good?
Yeah.
Who's your players of the match? Are those two your players of the match, or do you have somebody different in mind?
Them two.
Those two. I agree. They've been the United's best players by far today. Anyway, I said I'll keep it 3 minutes, and once again, I've got over 5 minutes, Barney, but I'll end it there on positive notes, despite the negative result. Oh, dear. Roll on Bournemouth away next weekend. And glory, glory, Man United, and to the regiment.